What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club app, the number one online community for DJs where you can stream for free and not get cut off. Today, we have my brother TG here on the show. Can you introduce yourself to the people, who you are and where you're from?
Oh, what's going on? My name is TG. That stands for my first and last name, Tion Good, T-E-O-N-G-O-O-D-E. I reside out of Cleveland, Ohio. I have an amazing story to tell you about how I got involved into DJing in Cleveland, Ohio, and just in overall. So that's just what, you know, how we're going to do right here, man.
Great, bro. I'm super excited to have you, man. So let's jump right into this. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, how you got started and what sparked your initial interest in becoming a DJ?
It started back in the 90s. I don't know if you ever watched the movie Juice, where Omar Epps was doing his pre-training, try to figure out what he wanted to go into that DJ battle. Ever since then, I was just hooked. And I got my set of turntables back in 1997. I was pretty much incompetent of knowing how to put together the whole setup as DJ, as far as like getting amps and making sure your mixer is hooked up and all those things. So I failed miserably. And I never really got to get off the ground as a DJ in the 90s. So I just kind of just stuck with dancing and doing like b-boy parties and stuff like that. So I stayed in those lanes. But as far as like DJing, that was like the core thing that I wanted to do. But as I was always in the closet about it, I wouldn't tell anybody that I wanted to DJ. So that's how my passion and how I really was like, oh man, this DJ stuff is dope. Just looking at the record was dope. Just watching it spin, I was like, man, I need to do this. Like, this is the best thing ever. Yeah, that's how it went down for me.
Awesome, man. So, you know, you had an interest, you tried it in the beginning, wasn't going too well, and you were doing some dancing. And then eventually, you know, you were able to dive deeper into, you know, really break into the industry. So walk us through kind of your first gig and your first opportunity to really become a legitimate DJ, and really walk us through the early stages of your career, and then just continue from there and tell us just how it's been going ever since.
Okay, so I moved back to Cleveland because I'm originally born, how do you say, from Ohio, but I moved back to Cleveland in 2005. And I remember my sister, she came out here to live by me as well. And at the moment, I was telling her, I was like, I wanted to get into theater. So I wanted to do like, you know, just pretty much, they have like the second biggest Broadway, you know, functions that happen here in Ohio, like especially in Cleveland, like it's the second to like, you know, Broadway in New York City. So I was like, you know what, I feel like I should go do that. She was like, that'll be dope. So we just like decided to go to the Cavs game. We had that discussion. This is how it all happened. I'm breaking this down verbatim. So we go to a Cavs game. And this is when LeBron James was like really ticking off in 2005-06, that's the 06 season. I met a guy named V. He handed us two VIP passes. And we went to this after club, after hour spot. DJ Mick Boogie, he goes by Mick now. He was a real big guy. He looked like a big chef. He was huge. He was like 200, almost 300 pounds back then. He's not that way now. And got to go to his party, and I really like, just was digging the show. Sent him an email, and I told him how, like, you know, how, like, I appreciate you as a DJ. I really like the sound that you do, the ambiance that you created at that party. He told me to come kick it with him at a Cavs game after that. So moving forward, they had more parties and we kept coming to them. So like, you know, back in those times, you follow the DJ. So we just followed the DJ. And then eventually I met another guy named Terry Urban. That was his buddy. So his buddy comes up to me and was like, hey man, I'm Terry Urban. It's a pleasure to come out and hang out with us. And so we kind of kicked it off more than Mick, but I hung out with the both of them. One day Mick was and Terry was sitting down, and Terry goes, I would need a MC. So I was like, well, I can be an MC. So I started hosting parties with them. And the party is what is called I Got Five on It. It's an old school hip hop party. It was created back in 2005. And then it kicked off in 2006. And we used to call it the Triangle Offense. So it was Mick and Terry and myself. So as far as like me getting into the DJ game, this is how I was stepping into it. And at that time, I was still trying to, I wanted to be a DJ, but I just didn't really want to tell anybody I wanted to do it. So we go on for probably like the next 3 to 4 years. I finally was like, you know what? I want to DJ. So I would try to DJ little nights. I would get gigs doing, this would make everybody laugh. I was doing a ladies' night, just rock music. Check this out. Just a brother. I'm playing rock music. I'm playing 80s rock music in a small bar. Not really something that you would think that I would do, but I was like, you know what? I'll take this shot. Probably getting paid like $75 a night. Wasn't really anything that you're making anything lucrative, but the experience was great. So I kind of stepped back from DJing a little bit. And I remember I told Terry, I was like, I want to DJ. And he was like, I don't think you're ready. And when he told me that, I was like, you know, I'm going to take this over. So a whole year in 2010, I decided just to go balls to the wall with DJing. And then eventually I got my break. And when I got my break, I started playing all the insane downtown places in Cleveland. From they had the Spy Bar, they had the View. Oh man, there's so many places that they had. Fortress, Anatomy. I mean, I can just name so many different clubs that was downtown Cleveland. And I'm just skipping forward, just trying to get to a point where, like, letting you know, like, how this actually happened. So once I got out to all the downtown Cleveland, I was like, I got my big break. And that was like something that, you know, you thought you was like really the man of DJing. Then it just, something happened in 2012. I had my appendix burst. So I took a hiatus of DJing. So for a whole year, for the 2012, year of 2012, I didn't DJ at all. Everybody knew who I was as an MC, and they knew I was as an upcoming DJ, but I stepped away. Came back in 2013. I hit my sister up saying, hey, you know, I thought about going to South by Southwest. I was thinking about connecting with this company and maybe it'd be a good idea. My sister called me up just to tell me that I wanted to give you a plane ticket so you can go out to South by Southwest. I go out to South by Southwest. I meet all the DJs from DJ Dynamic, Just Blaze. I mean, I'm hanging with everybody. I'm doing parties out there. I come back home. I get my actual big break, was my paying big break. So that means now I'm getting paid for what I'm doing. And it was in 2013 when I actually was like, I was really making that dough. And I started traveling around from the state of Ohio. I was on the radios. I was on Kiss FM radio. I was on another Kiss FM radio in Columbus, Kiss FM radio in Toledo, then another FM radio station in Cleveland. So I started really getting myself out there as a DJ. Now, what changed for me, and I'm just gonna make sure I can say this clearly, like what changed for me as a DJ, I started seeing myself like, how can I express it? I started seeing myself as a person that didn't want to be in the limelight anymore. So I was around all the parties. So you think from 2006 all the way up, I'm around all these parties. I'm doing all these things. I'm DJing. I'm at the highest I can ever be. I just started just to fall away from it. Not because I didn't love it. It's because what I was seeing. I started realizing I had control of the people. I was being more of a master manipulator of sounds just to get people to dance. And then I was like, I really was trying to find what my true purpose is. The journey itself was actually amazing, but when that was changing, this is where a lot of things started to fall. So I started losing my homes. I started losing my cars. I started getting away from big crowds. I didn't hang out anymore. So I became like almost like a hermit. And I'm at the top of my game. I mean, I'm like the probably top DJ in Kent, Ohio, because I was actually DJing in Kent State. And let me break into that. So after 2013, in 2014, I got auditioned to DJ this place called Bar 145. Now, it was a food chain, and they used to have a lot of cover bands that come there. Well, the owner was deciding to say, well, I would like to have a DJ. So I would go there and just DJ just to do intermission. So I would do these intermissions, and then like the crowd outside would have these lines. Now, they was thinking they was coming for these cover bands, but they was actually coming to see me. So eventually, you know, the owner starts seeing how like the revenue was changing, how like, why all these kids keep coming to the saying come to the party without you saying to see these cover bands, but really to come and see the DJ. So they switched it around and start putting me at like main attraction nights. So I was like a headliner at times, and they would see these lines all the way down the street. This is Kent State University, 2014, and 2014 to 2017, I was the man. I was the man. I'm like, I was rocking. Like, you couldn't say nothing to me, man. I can.
Wow.
So, during that period, going back to telling you how, like, a lot of things that, you know, like, a lot of my perspective was changing, and I started to fall away. I started seeing things like, I was like, what is my true purpose? Is it just DJing? Is it continue to market myself? Is it continue to be a guy that can uplift or inspire people? And I realized I was inspiring people as a DJ, but I wasn't really feeling myself. I wasn't feeling as a whole. So I said these things to myself, like probably like 10 years ago, prior to that time when I was at Barroom 4-5, I was letting myself know that if I'm not whole, what I'm doing, then I'm doing something that's off. I mean, I'm just not doing something that's right, because I realized I'm controlling, like I said before, I'm controlling everybody, saying far as the ambiance of the music, making sure everyone's dancing, making sure everyone's having a good time and enjoying it. But it was something else that was bigger. A lot of people say they can get into religious. They say that's a God experience or that's a revelation. I was having all those things happen at the time. And a lot of times when you get into those categories, people call it, there's other people that say it's called the dark night of the soul. So imagine DJing, and you're at the height of your, saying height of the highest you can be. Instead of having the light shining on you when you're playing, because you know you have all the lights going, we have everything, it's spectacular, it's great ambiance. I would change the light to a darker, dark light, so you couldn't see my face. I would be like this, so like have my hat. I'm just showing you how I would do it. I'm just telling you the story straight up. So I would be like this, I'd be rocking the party. You would not see my face. I would not, you saying, be on a microphone, but I would still rock the party. And everybody's like, well, why you don't promote yourself? I was like, man, if I could tell you what I'm going through, you probably wouldn't understand. So right now the owner's just like, just keep playing. So I'm getting paid, but at the same time, I'm just really not into doing this anymore.
Wow.
So that whole time I was going through that, the company actually folded. So the company, when it folded, I stayed with them as long as I possibly can. And I remember, that was like a real big thing for me, because I, you know, I'm very loyal to, you saying, to making sure companies continue to build and expand. And then that company pretty much sent me all the places in Ohio to travel places. And they would always ask me like, why you don't get on the radio? Why you don't go to these places? And I was just like, I'm just not in that type of mindset right now. And I knew too many people. I know from Mick Boogie, let me say that right, Mick, but it's not Mick Boogie anymore, from Terry Urban to Steph Floss to DJ K Nice to Scratchmaster L, to all the radio hosts that have been saying that were here in Cleveland, Ohio. I mean, I knew everybody. I mean, I'm around this circle and I wasn't taking advantage of it. And I just said, you know what? I'm just going to just allow this business to fold. Can't do anything about that. I'm going to take this loss. And then I was like, I'm gonna try to find my way back to saying to who I am. And that's the journey of being a DJ. Everybody thinks it's, you're the life of the party. Yes, you are, but really you're not. It's not, you don't get all the girls you think you can get. That doesn't really happen. It's not about always drinking all the time, because a lot of times that really messes up how your DJ sets. I've been there where you drink and your face is tingling, you're trying to play and everyone thinking you're doing a good job. That's not really good too, because it's not professional. It gets to a point where I just feel like I just lost the drive. And the drive was the passion to do something that was to indulge in, I call it ignorance, indulge in ignorance. I'd rather indulge in righteousness. And that was the thing that I was looking for. And once I found it, then I was like, okay, now I can actually start looking at DJ from a different perspective. Then I can start looking into it, like all the things that I was going through prior to all the stuff that, you know, in the past, I can just say, you know what, man, I can actually play. I can play music that I love. I can play music that people that love. I don't have to be conformed to this top 40. You got to play for these companies in the certain industries that says you need to play this music and that's what you need to play. Like, no, I can actually go out and play good music.
Yeah.
But before, you was all trying to just get in. Everybody tried to jump into the rat race. Everybody's trying to be a DJ. Everybody's a laptop DJ. Everybody's using a controller, using the sync button. It's like so many different things that we tend to get distracted of. We don't just listen into how the DJ really creates a great mix, or how good they are at doing that. We don't pay attention to that anymore. We're just all about just, oh man, he ain't good enough, man, because he's like, he ain't using turntables, or he's using a controller. I love that you're saying to get other DJs and other critics to bite their tongue when they see me play on turntable, they see me on CDJs, they see me on anything. He's like, man, I didn't know you can do that. I was like, no, man, this is what I'm gifted on doing. The problem I have is with myself. Like, I have to be honest. I'm not addicted to anything. I just really looking for the true purpose in life. There's nothing wrong with that. That journey is actually a beautiful journey to be on. It could have been a different story for myself. I could have been addicted to everything. And even when I was in that moment of drinking and having fun, I remember I would just tell this is small. We used to take small bottles of Patron, have four small bottles of Patron in our bottles. So every time we DJ, I would DJ four times a week. Everywhere we went, we traveled from Columbus, Toledo, Youngstown, little small towns, in and out, you're saying, just go and play. Sometimes we'll go to Pittsburgh, we'll travel all these places to DJ. We always had drinks on, so we just drink. I had an entourage around me. It was around to a point where I was making great money. I had an entourage around me. And then one day we stopped drinking for 1 week because we just like, we want to detox. And I remember I was DJing and I was scratching and my arms start twitching. I was like, oh, just saying, I don't want to do this anymore. I was like, I don't want to drink no more. I was like, this is not it. I was like, something's not, I only have withdrawals. I see where this is going. I remember being in hotels by myself. You feel that dark feeling like, damn, I know how the artist would feel when you're by yourself. You don't have no one to talk to. You start to fall into dark habits. Do everything, call people up, do all these things. I was like, no, I don't want to do that. So after that changed, and after going through all that, I realized what we can do now as DJs, and we can actually be, you know, faithful husbands. We can actually be, you know, saying great providers. We can be great speakers. We can love one another a lot better. We don't have to always be critics of someone that's doing something that we don't like. But I realized, like, this is an art form. So it's going to be different types of genre music, different type of energy. People are going to express things differently. Let that happen. Let's not even get involved in it. Let's not try to even disrupt. I always say, don't disrupt the flower. So if your flower is growing, like right now I'm talking to you, I'm not here to disrupt your flower. I'm here to make sure that, hey man, you need some water to do whatever. You need some sunshine for this so you can continue to keep growing, because we want to see you continue to build. And living in the city of Cleveland, that was one of the hardest things to deal with too, because everybody's trying to be competitive and want to be the number one guy.
Yeah, man. Wow, this is a powerful story, brother. And I'm super happy for you. And thank you for being so transparent and open with this story. You know, you went from MCing to be able to break into the industry and doing a lot of different things to break in. And then eventually one thing led to another, and you're able to just get your big break. You went to South by Southwest, came back, and you just hit a new stride in your success. And eventually, after, you know, seeing so much success, you was all into, you know, the lifestyle of DJing, and you felt like you got lost. And then he was able to truly find your purpose and to truly see what's more important and that it's bigger than the lifestyle, the partying, and that you need to be able to ground yourself in something more fruitful and using your God-given talent to do good and to help other people. And I'm just really impressed with just how you've transformed as a person, and it shows today in just the way you speak, the way you tell your story, and everything you've accomplished. So congrats to you on everything you've accomplished. And thank you for sharing this with our audience. I think this is a valuable story for anyone that's in any stage of their career as a DJ and are trying to find their purpose. So this could be an eye-wakener to many people that are in similar situations. So thank you for sharing that, man. I'd love to hear, you know, briefly, you know, some of the things that you're working on now, and then we're going to jump into the lightning round.
Okay, so what I'm working on now, I just got back in, like, it's been a whole year since I've DJed. We all know COVID, you're saying, kicked everybody's butt. But I was like the story I was telling you, I was having troubles of getting gigs, like, to be consistent and have some sustainability. My talent is there. Like, the talent was always there, but it's just the sustainability. So it took a whole year for me to get, you're saying, get back. So this year I actually got an opportunity to get back into DJing. And it was actually a great experience. So that's starting back off to really just go out and be out in public. And it's a little bit different being in public doing it because everyone is sitting down, wearing masks. It's not the same. Going back to saying being on FM radio, I got a brother named DJ Chris Styles. You know, saying it's 95.9 WOVU. I'm saying radio, being a part of doing the R&B mix on Wednesdays. I have my Instagram page right now. What I'm doing now, I make lo-fi beats. I do productions of remixes. My Instagram is called Frequency Is Free. Now, the reason why I called that, I removed a lot of things that I was doing. I was like, I need to find a way to be free. I realized that frequency is free. So like, so we have the frequency to connect with each other, or we have the frequency of building, loving, planting great seeds. And I just really wanted to create music that inspires me and uplifts others to continue to do the same thing. So that's what I've been doing to get back on my, saying back on my grind, put things in the proper perspective. And I look forward to seeing what's in the future. I have a lot of great music. Just to let you know, one more thing. I did a challenge. I did a beat challenge. I did 7 beats for 7 days, ended up with 49 beats. And it's amazing. I look forward to seeing the next couple months of hit putting out a lot of great production, saying stuff that can go on commercial, stuff can go with different artists. I'm just really just inspired to see some different things happen now, because I'm now that I have a full circle, 360 degrees of what to do. And I'm just, man.
Wonderful, brother. Hey, I'm glad that we're connected. I'm definitely looking forward to helping you in your journey. So let's jump into the lightning round, man. You ready?
Yes.
Awesome. Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
Both. I usually use Serato, and then I use pretty much I'll use it to regular CDJ. So a CDJ, you just use a CDJ, you just plug in an actual, just a small little jump drive, and you work off there. But you can use Rekordbox, Redbox is what it's called. You can use that. But a lot of times we just use CDJs or Serato. That's what we use.
Besides yourself, who's your favorite DJ?
Besides myself, who's my favorite DJ? Oh, man. I mean, can I list them? I'm just give you as much. Okay, my favorite DJ. Ooh. Okay, growing up was Kid Capri. Hold on. Let me go.
That's it, Kid Capri.
Kid Capri, there it is.
What has been your favorite party or event you DJed at and why?
My favorite party I got to DJ. Ooh. My favorite party was the DJ was downtown, I'm saying downtown Cleveland. At the View, it was a Case Western Reserve party. It was actually one of those like pop-up parties. So the thing is, you would be DJing at the night and they'll just show up at to your event. They'll bring like close to 1,000 to 2,000 people. Oh man, that was amazing. Yeah.
Who's the most interesting person you've met through DJing?
The most interesting person I got to meet? Pharrell Williams. Yeah.
What's one thing that you think is missing from live streaming for DJs?
Oh, what's missing? Just the crowd. The crowd participation. That's pretty much it.
And shout out to any DJs you know personally whose story needs to be shared on this podcast.
Oh, shout outs to DJ Q Nice. He stays, he's actually residing out of LA. He's actually a Cleveland native as well. Shout out to DJ Chris Styles, my homie that's out here in Cleveland. He's doing his radio show. And DJ Wolf. DJ Manny Mix out of Toledo, and DJ Big Rude. Yeah.
Awesome, man. We look forward to hearing their stories, and any DJs that are interested in being on the show can sign up at djsignup.com. And brother, where can people find you either online or in person?
Oh, you can find me right now. You can just reach me at Frequency Is Free. That's Frequency Is Free on my Instagram. And if you want to say and check me out on Facebook, a lot of times I had a hard time putting that URL in it. You can just look me up. TG is T.G, and it's like Lamar, but not, it's Lamar, but it's Lamar. L, it's saying L-M-A-R and then good, G-O-O-D-E. That's what you can find me at. But to be honest with you, my Facebook got copyright infringement. They won't let me change my name.
So. Awesome, brother. Well, we really have we had a great time with hearing your story on the My DJ Story podcast. Thank you. Everyone, please check out TG. He's doing some great stuff, and we'd love to follow your journey. Thank you for being on the show.
All right.
Are you a DJ? Well, we want to hire you as one of our official The Club virtual DJs. We've been working hard to source hundreds of paid virtual gigs, and we need DJs of all kinds that are interested in getting paid to curate virtual events for our clients. Whether you're a new DJ just getting started or a veteran in the game, we have paid gig opportunities for you. Text I'm in to 609-201-1027 to get notified for paid gig opportunities from The Club. Tell a friend. We look forward to working with you. Now back to the podcast.